They have been loud voices in our lives. They have been a blessing to Christy and I and to our family. They know our family. They call, they ask, they reach out. They have been true friends. They've been true mentors in our world. And so it is our privilege, our pleasure, to be able to introduce McCord Road Christian Church to Pastor Scott and Melanie Jones. Praise God.
Thank you so much. And good morning. I heard about this crowd. I heard about you guys. Hey, I'm glad to be here. Melanie, on behalf of both of us, just honored to be at McCord Road Christian Church. We have just enjoyed ourselves, the wonderful hospitality, the sweet spirit. If you're not aware, you go to church with some wonderful people, some great people here. And you also have great leadership. Pastor Benton and Lindsay, it's been a joy to be with you and to get to know more about you. And then, of course, Pastor Micah and Christy Sutton, we honor this family and this church. You're going the right way. You're doing the right thing, and you're built on a strong legacy. And it's just great to see what's happening here. And we're honored to be a part. We thoroughly enjoyed the One Conference for all the married people. And that scream you heard, if you weren't here for the weekend, that's just someone who did their homework. So just to let you know in advance. There's some thumbs up. This will make you want to come next year and find out, you know, what was that? Or maybe not. It's kind of an Acts 2 experience where if you weren't here, you're saying, what meaneth this? So anyways, but what a blessing. What a blessing. And in the theme of what we did this weekend, we were talking about, of course, the covenant of marriage and husbands and wives. But that is one key relationship. There's also the key relationship of parent and child. It doesn't matter if you're a grown child, there's still that relationship. There's the relationship, the peer relationship, brother to brother, sister to sister. You guys understand life is better together. And you get that here, that we go to church in rows, but we do life in groups. We're discipled in groups. And of course, McCord Road understands that. But that's all about relationship. And I want to tag into that theme, since we've been talking about something that is so key this weekend, and we've done it for the married couples, those who attended, and there were some that were kicking the tires to decide they wanted to be married. And if they're still going to get married after everything they heard, they need to get married, because we talked frankly and honestly about the pros and the cons. Do not look at your spouse, but the ups and the downs, the challenges of two becoming one. But I want to pick up on that, and I have lived my life. It was about age 40 that I discovered something, and I know you're shocked to know I've passed 40. But there was something that I actually had lived by the principle, but I discovered the principle then and began to say, life moves at the speed of relationship. I just observed in my life that when God was ready to transition me, elevate me, move me, bless me, He would often bring a key person into my life, or sometimes there'd be a key person come out of my life. But it was in that transitioning of relationship that I realized that's how life moves. Some of you have come to Sylvania and to McCord Road Church based off of one relationship. In fact, I believe one key relationship can open up a world to you. That's how God operates. And it's actually a part of His plan from the very beginning. Genesis 1, verse 11, I want to read some verses to you. And my sermons are not long. They seem that way, but they're not. Genesis 1, 11, then God said, let the land produce. Would you say produce?
Produce.
Notice how many times you see words that have to do with being productive or fruitful within the book of Genesis. Here we go. Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and the trees bearing fruit with seed in according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. If you don't think life moves at the speed of relationship, even plant life that God spoke into being and created was spoken into being with seed inside of it, the potential to be fruitful, but it is hinged upon its ability to connect with other light-bearing plants. Pollination has to happen. You cannot be a pot plant and flourish well unless you have cooperation from another pot plant nearby that says, I'll share with you. There has to be connection. That's why you're supposed to be rooted and grounded in a church, planted in the house of the Lord, to be fruitful, to cross-pollinate with others. Sorry, I'm getting very pastoral, and you're not my church. But we've got a lot of pot plant people in Houston. And they move around. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me get back to my sermon. That was just cathartic to get out of my... So, relationship is necessary. Connecting is necessary. Then go to verse 24. And God said, let the land produce living creatures. Now we're into the animal kingdom. And let the living creatures produce according to their kinds. Livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. After he creates Adam and Eve in his image, the very next verse, they get their marching orders. Verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Everything God created, he intended for it to be fruitful, productive, reproductive, that it would multiply. When God is in the middle of something, he wants it to be fruitful. He wants it to multiply. How do we know God's at McCord Road Church? You are fruitful. You are multiplying. Welcome to the second of four services. And I wonder how many more are down the road. Don't run me out of town. But because you're fruitful. You have problems, but they're good problems. They're growing pains. That's a good sign. So God made you. He made me with the intent that I be fruitful and multiply or increase. God so designed us. He so designed most of creation that the key to being fruitful, the key to being productive, the way I'm going to multiply, it requires the cooperation of at least one other person. He did not make you to do life alone. He said, if you're going to be fruitful, you have to be intimate with someone. You have to have connection. You have to have relationship. It applies to business. It applies to life. It applies to marriage. It applies to every part of our life. You can have the most brilliant idea in the world, but that brilliant idea will go no further until you find someone who says, I agree with that idea, and I have a connection to the patent office, or I can connect you with the manufacturer. The greatest idea in your mind alone is seed sitting there until you find someone with whom you can agree. Agree. That's how God created us. He requires intimate relationship so that things can multiply. And we hijack God's plan when we say, I'd rather fly solo. And so whenever we make our lives isolated, when we build up walls where there should be doors, it doesn't matter what kind of great seed of potential you have in you, it will do you or no one else any good unless you learn how to connect with others. Connection. That's why we have Genesis 2. So Genesis 1, you see God's plan. God's plan was everything I have created will be fruitful, will have potential inside of it, and it will multiply. And then in Genesis 2, we are introduced to another character, and Satan comes on the scene. And what does he do right off the bat? He attacks God's plan and tries to divide where God wanted to multiply by breaking down intimacy. First, intimacy between man and God. Secondly, intimacy between one another. It's too shallow to think that Satan's main goal is just to introduce sin into the plot. to just get us to sin, to just try to make us live a miserable life, he's a better devil than that. He's better than that. There's a deeper plan than that. He's trying to bring a schism inside of you so that you never experience intimacy with God or with anyone else. That your potential always remains inside of you. That the seed of greatness that is there within you remains within you because you have isolated or been isolated in life. When you read the Bible, you'll find one of his greatest strategies was to abort. Abort babies. Why? Because abort productivity. Stop the fruitfulness. Abort the potential. He still does that today. It's not just something that is happening as a blight in our society as far as babies, but it is something that happens inside of every one of us. The birthing of an idea, the birthing of a ministry, the birthing of something great that could happen, but it'll never happen if he has the opportunity to abort. You've got to understand about Satan. He hates seed. He hates seed. His goal is get between you and anything else where you could have intimacy. Because if Satan can stop intimacy, he can stop multiplication. And if he can stop multiplication, he can stop growth. And it's my observation that too many Christians struggle with intimacy. First with God, and then with others. We struggle with this. We have relationships, but they're not healthy relationships. We have family and friends, but sometimes they are dysfunctional at best. There is no intimacy. There is no fruitfulness. Many of you, we've all come to the holiday season, and perhaps you had a Thanksgiving or a Christmas where the family all came together as is intended and is obligated. And you gathered and you made sure everyone had the correct portion of turkey and dressing and ham and all those things. And everyone went home. And there was never intimacy. So it all remained the same. There will be no growth, no multiplication, nothing healthy within the family because we kept it surface level and handled an obligation. That's not what God intended. That is certainly what Satan intends. If he can abort seed, that's what he wants to do. Stop intimacy. And think of some of his strategies today. I'll just touch on three real quick. One, think of the pornography industry, how massive it is today and booming and booming. And it's not because Satan's intent is just to cause someone to stumble by the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. You have to think deeper than that. The real reason he has put this into society, it's not just that. It has progressed to this point because what it actually leads to is self-gratification. That I can have self-gratification that does not require agreement or intimacy with another person. And by him being able to do that, he has aborted multiplication. Think of divorce. Divorce that has impacted so many homes. Is his intent just to divide? Yes, that is part of his intent. We know that God is frowns upon divorce, but do we understand why God frowns upon divorce? Well, it's because they broke their vows. If God frowned on us so much on divorce because we broke our vows, can you? I'm not going to ask you, but the people in the first service, can you imagine how many vows they break? Just going through life, rolling through a red light. But you vow to uphold the laws of the land. It's not about the vow breaking. It's deeper than that. Listen to Malachi 2:14. You ask why? Well, here's your answer. It is because the Lord is acting as the witness between you and the wife of your youth. Because you have broken faith with her, though she is your partner, the wife of your marriage covenant. Has not the Lord made them one in flesh and spirit? They are his. And why one? Because, here's the why, because he was seeking godly offspring. And then if you go on to verse 16, I hate divorce, says the Lord God of Israel. Why? I was looking for multiplication, which is, to get that requires intimacy. And I hate divorce because intimacy is lost. And when that is lost, we're no longer productive and multiplying. Think about parent-child breakdowns. Whether both are adults or whether it's in the home right now and you're all living as strangers. Satan's goal is not just to make you miserable, although there's nothing more miserable than living like strangers in the same home. It's deeper than that. What he's actually trying to do is break down productivity. If I can stop intimacy, I can stop production. I can stop multiplication. So Deuteronomy 5:16 commands us, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. God is trying to prosper us. Satan wants to abort it. He hates seed. How big is intimacy to God? Let's look at how the old agreement, the Old Testament ends. The last verse, after Satan has come in and muddled up what God started in Genesis 1, we end the book in Malachi 4:6. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. There was hope that what has been broken will be healed. Fathers, sons, children, parents, intimacy coming back. And here comes Jesus onto the scene. What does he do? He takes on our sins. He breaks the curse of sin. What is the curse of sin? The loss of intimacy with God. He displays that life moves at the speed of relationship by how he honors the intimacy between he and his Father. He says things like John 10:30, I and the Father are one. He says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. He tells us, I must be about my Father's business. He's showing the reason I'm so productive on earth. What you're seeing me do is because my Father and I are in agreement. We are one. We have intimacy. And then right before he heads to the cross, he prays this about us, John 17:22, that they may be one as we are one. Give you something to ponder. Your network matters more to God than your net worth. He is not that concerned about your 401k. He is concerned that you're doing life with others well. Your network matters more to God. And we live life on a stage. I'm up on a stage today, but we all live life on a stage. And there are four aspects of all of our lives. The first aspect is this. It's the arena. That's where we are today. All of us are in the arena. And the arena is, I know and you know. This is surface level living. This is public perception. This is the me I want you to know. And this is the you want me to know. And we have set answers. Good morning. How are you? I'm blessed. I'm good. Meanwhile, driving to church that day, you know, it sounded like a cat fight. Sometimes, I'm sure it doesn't happen here, but in Texas, there are people who have set answers. They're just locked in. So I've said, good morning. Fine. I didn't ask. Because that's our public, we're just on autopilot. I'm not going to tell you what's really going on. And that's that part. The good me. We have to be careful about this because you will never reach your full potential if you live on this level. Because you have to be intimate. And as we discussed this weekend, intimate can best be defined as intimacy as into me see. Who really knows you? Then there's the mask. And the mask is, I know, but you don't know. We all have one. I've got secrets. I'm not telling you because I hope to come back someday. But you have them as well. We all do. There's that part of us we just don't share with anyone else. And here's the danger. If I'm the only one who knows all my secrets, I'm in trouble. Because I want you to understand this. You will always be as sick as your secrets. If you want healing in that area, you need at least one other. As the box often says, some assembly required. You need to assemble with somebody. You've got to connect. Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but he whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Well, that's just between me and God. I'm going to confess my sins to God and find mercy. Well, there's more to it than that. James said it this way in James 5:16, "Therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." You've got to catch what he says here. He says this: you go to God for forgiveness, but you go to God's people for healing. You're only as healthy as the secret you're holding on to. If you want healing, you find someone else. Intimacy. Take the mask off. Get real. I've said it this way before. You need someone who knows you and can know you. Outside, if you're married, outside of your marriage, gentlemen, who is another guy in your life? Let's call him a dude. Who's the dude in your life who can look at you and just say, "No. That's crazy. You're not thinking right." Who knows you and who can know you? Everyone needs that in their world. Everyone. And then there's the third area, which is the blind spot. The blind spot works like this. You know, but I don't know. This is that spinach in your teeth that you find out later. Why didn't no one... I went through the whole interview that way? Yeah. No one close enough. Every one of us needs someone in our life to tell us about our blind spots. Please love me enough to tell me what I cannot see in myself. Well, God knows my heart and I know my heart. No, you don't. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it?" And then there's a fourth area, our potential. I don't know and you don't know. Get this, but God knows. And we'll never know until we connect. Until we come together in intimacy. Until I find a brother. Until I find a sister. Until we connect with one another. We'll never know our full potential. We know that one can put 1,000 to flight. 2, 10,000 to flight. It doesn't mathematically add up what happens when brothers and sisters come together in agreement. But Jesus did say it'll take at least two of you. There's some things you're praying for that it requires someone else to believe and to pray with you. So my message to you today is we've got to move beyond our hurts and trust again. Try again. Believe again. Let go. Understand you'll never be fruitful alone. It requires someone else. And I know what has happened is we've been hurt. Some of you, you may be new to McCord Road Church and you were hurt somewhere else at another church. And man, I hate that. I regret when that happens and you've been hurt somewhere else. And so now where we are is you're here and thankfully you're here. But I pastor some people that have been at our church 3, 5, 7 years and have yet to connect because they were hurt somewhere else. I understand that for a little bit that we need to heal. But did I mention we're talking about 5, 6, 7 years? Somewhere in here, you've just decided, "I'm going to go it alone." And we grow no handles. And so people can't reach you, can't grab you, can't get a hold of you. I would encourage you, not love handles, but grow some grow some handles. Connect. You'll never be the fruitful potential person God intended for you to be as long as you go it alone. So how do we begin this healing process? How do we start this? Well, God began all of the things that were productive with words. He said, "Let there be," and it was. And then notice he made Adam in his image. And after he made Adam in his image, he said to Adam and Eve, "Now here's what you're going to do. You're going to go about the earth, and you're going to look at all the other things I've created, and you're going to speak to it, and whatever you say it is, that's what it'll be." James said it this way, "The power of death and life is in the tongue." You don't even have to raise your hand because I know we could all raise our hand on this one. The things you wish you could take back that you've said. I've learned, I will never ask a woman, "When's the baby due?" I've done that. I don't care if I'm on the maternity ward floor. If she's in a wheelchair with a young man behind her pushing her and she's moaning, I'm not going to ask when the baby's due. It could be indigestion and I've learned the hard way. The power of words. Life and death is in the tongue. And it's how we say things. I could look at Melanie and say, you got a face that'll stop a clock. Or I could say, when I look at you, time stands still. See, I said the same thing, but it's how you say it. Here's what I know about words. Words are bridges. Words are walls. Words are doors. It's all in how we use them. The power of your words. That's where intimacy begins. At the Tower of Babel, evil people with an evil plan, but they were speaking the same words. And God said, they're going to do this. They will be productive. This is current. There's a study being done right now by a Dr. Maruro Emoto. And it's a phenomenal study. He is an out-of-the-box research scientist. And he is actually studying water and how water reacts to sound. To sound. And he realized that, especially at its frozen crystal form, taking one drop of water, magnifying it many times over, one frozen crystal form, it shows its true nature. And he's gained worldwide acclaim through this groundbreaking research, exposing water to sound. And he's really out of the box because he's done some things that technically you would say, well, that's not scientific, but the scientific results are phenomenal. Because what he has done, he'll literally go to one water source, and he's done it everywhere, and he'll draw from the same water source, put a drop of water on a slide, expose it to a sound, and then quick freeze it and take that one frozen crystal and magnify it. You'd be amazed what he sees. Let me show you. I've got a few pictures here straight from his website. He took one water drop from a source, put speakers up to it, and played heavy metal music. And then captured it and froze it. And this is what it looked like. Water exposed to heavy metal. Then he took Elvis, and he played Heartbreak Hotel. Since my baby left me, I found a new place to dwell. Down at the end of Lonely Street. And that's a water crystal responding to Heartbreak Hotel. Then he went classical and he played Air on G string. And the water responded so differently. Same water source, same equipment, different sound. And then he played Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Isn't that phenomenal? Water responding to words and to sound. And then he moved from music to just words, literally speaking to water. And he would say words over the water. And one word he did, he just looked at the water, got up close to it, and said, evil, evil. And he spoke evil to the water, and the water responded this way. And then he spoke to the water, same source, and he said, you disgust me. You disgust me. And this one always gets me because I, in my childish view, I see a malformed figure in there that is being formed by the words. What worse could a person hear than you disgust me? Then he did, you fool. You fool. And this is a water crystal. It looks like a bullet hole to me, pierced by the words, you fool. And then he transitioned, same water source, and he tried this word. He tried the words, thank you. Thank you. Huh. Thank you. Then he just spoke the word, peace. 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 Are you seeing any commonality here? Then he just said the word angels. 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 You're wondering, well, what's that have to do with relationships and what does that have to do with, what's significant about that? And here we are today and you're talking about intimacy. I'll tell you, I'm talking about healing. I'm talking about coming together And you can appreciate this if you remember that the adult human body is comprised of 70% water. And an infant is 90% water. Words matter. Words matter a whole lot. This gives me hope as a pastor, because I preach and I'm told that it's by the foolishness of preaching that people are reached, and that we're begotten by the word. But there are some people that I have preached to for years, and I've seen no move. I've seen nothing on the outside. But when I came across this, I changed my narrative when I get home on Sunday. And Melanie asked, well, how do you feel like the weekend message went? Like, well, I know I got at least 70% of him. He didn't move on the outside, but I know something resonated on the inside. Words. Bridges, doors, walls. May I propose some words that you would interject so that you can get back to having intimate relationships? How about the words, I am sorry? Picking up the phone this afternoon and calling that one that you've not talked to in a long time, because you're both waiting on the other to blink. And just reach out and say, let's reconnect. Let's start here. How about the words, I forgive you? Imagine, this is at home, I'm walking this out. We got a 23-year-old son. He's graduated from college, and I didn't know when I bought his education. He has all knowledge now, so we're good. Whatever you need to know, call Spence. He's got you. I bought it. But I've got a 17-year-old girl. Well, that will ramp up your prayer life. And if she's driving on the same road you're on, you should ramp up your prayer life. And this 17-year-old junior in high school has made some decisions. I want to look at her and say, are you out of your mind? But I believe in the power of words. And I know outside, she's looking at me like, just could you hurry so I could go be with some interesting people? But I'm saying, Savannah, I want you to know you're my princess. I believe in you. You're going to make great decisions today. Parentheses, oh God, let it be. But I want to speak life. I want my father-daughter relationship to be fruitful and productive. How about these words here at Grace, or here at McCord? How about just saying, hi, my name is, I'm ready to connect. You're going to open up a world of productivity. What about just the word in Jesus' name? Let me tell you how powerful words are. Do you know you talk your way into heaven? I don't mean you're going to get to the gates and meet St. Peter and talk your way in. But God in His wisdom, who is a speaking God, said, here's how we're going to work this out. Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I wonder why He chose that method. Because there's at least 70% of you that needs to hear you say, me leading my life hasn't worked well. I'm going to turn it over to the one who made me in the first place. Too much potential inside of me that's never gotten out. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but it's not enough to do that. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. May I give someone that opportunity right now? Don't do life alone. God never meant for you to do that. He meant for you to do life in community with others and communion with Him. May I give you a roadway right now. Would everyone pray this with me? Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of salvation. You came, you lived, you died, for my sins. So I confess I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Today is my day, the day of salvation. May you and I be fruitful together from here forward. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.
When you were speaking, something you said, you read the scripture at the end of Malachi talking about the turning the hearts of the Son back to the Father and so on. And something clicked in me. And I believe this is the Holy Spirit. We didn't do this in the last service. I don't know that we'll do this in the next service. But something clicked in me that maybe there's someone in this room right here who is estranged from your son, your daughter, from your father, your mother. And there needs to be a restoration that happens in that relationship. And so, Pastor, I'm going to ask you if you would just pray over that situation and for that restoration of relationship. And if you're in that condition, if you're in that situation, I'm going to ask everybody to stand so that no one has to stand alone. But I'm going to ask if you're in that condition, would you just agree with this in prayer and just trust God to do what he said he can do to return that? Again, I know I'm taking extra time here right now, but if you're in that condition, you know you need God to do something. You can't restore it yourself. And so as he read that clicked in my heart. Pastor, would you pray for that?
If that's you, I want you just to lift your hands like this in a receiving form. Nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed of. Life is tough. Parents do the best they can with what they knew. Or sometimes parents are just not righteous men or women. They don't mean, but the damage is done. Some of you, your parents they may already be in the ground. Healing can still come. Maybe you're the parent. Either way, we pray right now. Father, I thank you for the prophecy of Jesus, the Messiah, and what he was going to do. He was going to mend and fix the breach that happens in generations. There are in this room children, grown children, who have been hurt and wounded, probably most by the words of a previous generation. And the power of words, God, have been a weight on their life. First, right now, in the name of Jesus, I know you came to set the captive free and to take the weight off of us, so we just speak healing right now. Healing. Heavenly Father, Abba Father, the good Father, I pray that you would bring healing to those hearts and those hurts right now and let the healing process begin. God, for every parent here who is hurt and struggling and rejected, and they extend love and receive silence in return, I pray that they would not be weary and well-doing, that the heart of the good father, the heart of the father of the prodigal would remain upon that mother, that man, and that they would keep looking at the gate, that they would be willing to go the extra mile again and again, extending love even when love isn't returned. But at least, God, we know there is something happening with 70% of that person. Over every one of these folks, I pray healing. And I know healing begins when we look to you and then we blink. We make a move. So God, I pray a boldness in here, a holy boldness for us to take the next step, to break the silence with a phone call, a text, an email, a visit, and let healing come in, God. Let healing come in. Be glorified in how we reach and love and serve those who have hurt us, as your son did hanging on the cross when he said, when no one asked for forgiveness, he still said, Father, forgive. I really don't think they know what they're doing. In Jesus' name, we receive it. Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Prayer partners, would you come forward? If you're in the house and you need prayer for anything at all in your life, then I just want to encourage you, as we sing this closing song, make your way forward and let's join together and let's pray and see what God will do in Jesus' name.